Good morning. It's good to be here. Good to see everybody. Before we hop into the message, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer later in the message. And as you go ahead and turn there, I want to share a couple testimonies. We've had an exciting week in our student ministry. Wednesday night, we've been doing a theme. It is called The Good Life. And we've been talking about how the world tells us where the good life is found. And we've been talking about how the good life is actually found in Christ. And so we're walking through the book of Romans through the entire stretch of the year. So we did Romans 1, and then this week we did Romans 2. And just preached a message on how God is judge, that we will be judged as we are sinners unless we repent and believe. In Romans 2:4 says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. Preached that basic message, gave an invitation. We had a whole lot of students here, and I asked, if you received Jesus just now, look up at me. And there were a whole lot of people looking up at me, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. I want to make sure you really understand what you're saying and walk through that. They kept looking up at me, and I said, okay, if you received Jesus, come over here after the service. A bunch of people came over here. There were 15 students received Christ Wednesday night. So that was really cool. Really, really cool. Excuse me. That's not a normal Wednesday. That's a move of God. And then Friday, we have a fifth quarter, and we're out there on the field playing bubble ball. You get inside these bubbles, and you run, and you tackle each other. It's really awesome. The students love it. You should try it sometime if you ever, you know, if you're having a disagreement with your spouse. You should go play bubble ball. It would be great. So, bubble ball is a great time. And we had that. We had a speaker come and just share his testimony, and one girl received Christ there. So in one week, 16 students, lives changed from spiritual death to spiritual life. It was just a really, really, really cool thing I wanted to share with you guys. Another testimony I want to share, a lot of you guys know I'm involved in the American Ninja Warrior deal. I got to be a part of that on the show once and then got to run it again, and they didn't put it on TV. And then this year I tried again and I wasn't selected. And I thought, man, where do I go from here? Do I quit trying to be a ninja, or where do I go, you know? And I was praying about that, thinking about that this past year, and I felt led to try it, you know, just to, just, Lord, what are you saying to me with this? And I felt led to build an obstacle course, and kind of like Noah, just start building something and see what happens, right? And so I started building this obstacle course. A lot of the men in our church kind of came alongside me, a lot of youth came alongside me, my dad, and put together this portable ninja warrior type of obstacle course. And we had some events in Grandview, and now I travel to churches here and there and take my course and share the gospel, and it's been awesome. I've had a few students come with me. A few of our adults come with me. If you ever want to come on a ninja trip, come on with me. But in the past about year, we've had about 1,800 people attend Ninja Warrior outreach events, and we've had 11 people receive Christ through these, and 8 have rededicated their lives. And my whole message is that you can overcome obstacles through Jesus, because we're all going to face obstacles, right? And so we can overcome those obstacles through Jesus. When we fall down, like I did on the show, get back up and keep on going. Don't let your failures define you. And so it's just been a lot of fun to do that. And I just want to ask you to pray for me with that. Pray for my health, because if I get injured, I can't take an obstacle course around. So pray for my health. Pray for just people to continue to get saved. The biggest obstacle we face in life is sin, and we can't overcome that on our own. We need Jesus. And so it's been just a whole lot of fun, but I just want to ask you to pray for me and pray for this ministry. It's just been really, really neat. So I just thought I'd share those things that have been going on. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll hop into our topic this morning. Father God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we praise you for who you are. You are God. You have always existed. You will always exist. You are the eternal King, and you are worthy of our worship. And Lord, we do confess to you our sins. We confess that we are unworthy to be in a relationship with you. But we acknowledge Jesus. That you, God the Father, have loved us so much, you sent Jesus to die for us. And we know 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and all who believe in him will be saved. And so, God, we confess we are sinners, and we approach you only through Jesus. And Lord, we want to thank you today We want to thank you for all of the many blessings, the salvation in Christ, all of the things you provided, a home, a church family, our families. We want to thank you for even the trials. We rejoice in trials because we know that you are making us more like Christ through them. And Lord, we just want to worship you today. And I pray that through this message that nothing I say will be from my flesh. It will be from you, that your Holy Spirit will empower me and speak through me today. Give us ears to hear, God. Give us eyes to see. And help us today to leave here loving you more and having stronger families that will represent you to the world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. There are two questions that are going to drive my message today. And the first question is, what are the benefits of praying together as a family? What are the benefits of praying together as a family? The second question is, how do we pray together as a family? I think sometimes we want to pray together as a family and we just don't know where to start. And so we're going to discuss that later in the message as well. And as I was putting together my message, I was about 3/4 of the way through putting together my message. And then I went down to the Home Connection Center and I picked up this little pamphlet that Corey talked about last week. And I started reading it and I was like, this is exactly what I'm preaching. So if you just, you know, you're want to go home right now, you could go down the hall, you could grab one of these, you could read it, and you'll pretty much get the exact, I promise I didn't plagiarize this, I was already done, and I looked at it, I was like, well, all right, that's it. So so if you're tired, just at any moment, you get up, we won't judge you, just, you know, you can go, I'm just joking, let's enjoy these moments together, but I would encourage you to grab one of these, and it literally does almost say verbatim what I'm going to say this morning, so check it out. In case you missed it last week, Corey kicked off a new campaign for our Home Connection Ministry, 752. I don't normally wear t-shirts when I preach, but I thought I could get away with it today since it's part of the campaign. And so 752, it's all about praying together as a family. The 7 is praying for every individual family member in your family by yourself, praying for them 7 days a week. So for my spouse, for my kids, praying for them by name, certain requests every day, 7 days a week. The 5 represents praying together as a family, getting together in your living room, in a bedroom, around a table, in the car. Please keep your eyes open while you drive. But praying together 5 days a week with your family. And then 2 days a week, if you're married, with your spouse, you and your spouse together alone praying. If you're not married, get with a close friend and pray together 2 times a week. And this is a campaign to help families put prayer in their family because we believe that's important. We know that there are benefits to that. So Corey last week talked about how praying alone changes me and praying together changes, what was it? Us. Praying to alone changes me and praying together changes us. And I believe personal prayer has so much value. You know, you're going to strengthen your walk with God. You're going to connect with him. God's going to hear your prayers. He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to do things in your life as you pray to him individually. But there's something about praying together. When we get together and we pray, there's something that is really unique. That where God hears our prayers, but also those who pray together, it forms a bond like no other. And so I feel led to continue discussing how prayer changes us, and specifically want to focus on us as a family, whatever family season we are in. All right, and so back to the questions that are driving this message. The first question is, what are the benefits of praying together as a family? And the first benefit that I see praying together as a family is it helps us keep God at the center of our lives. Why do we exist? One time when I received Christ, that's what the preacher said to the whole congregation at a camp, 1,500 students. Why do we exist? And people shouted out answers, and finally someone yelled from the balcony, to glorify God. And that has stuck with me forever. To glorify God. We exist to glorify God. We exist to give honor and praise and glory to God. And when we pray together as a family, it helps us all keep that at the forefront of our minds. Man, this world is pulling us away over and over and over from the reason we exist. We exist for God, but everything in our world is pulling us and distracting us away from that reason to center our lives around ourselves or to center our lives around school or your job or whatever else. But we don't exist to revolve around school or a job. We exist to revolve around Jesus, amen? That's what we're here for. As I said a few moments ago, our youth theme is the good life. And Satan is telling us that the good life is found in a lot of different places. We categorize this. There's a book we've been using called The Good Life that helps us as we walk through this theme. And the author of that book, Tripp Lee, says that Satan is trying to tell us that the good life is found in hedonism. Hedonism means pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. That if I can just have pleasure, I will be satisfied. Or Satan tells us, hey, if you can just, you just have achievements, you just reach certain goals, you will be satisfied. You just get that promotion. You just make a certain grade on a test. You'll be satisfied. Or if we just revolve the world around me, then I'll be satisfied. And those lies are lies. The good life is found in Christ. There's a good God offering us a good life in Christ. Our flesh wants to receive those lies from Satan. But we are only going to keep this good life at the forefront of our mind when we pray together. Think about this. If husbands and wives and sons and daughters got together every day, how much more likely are we to remember why we exist? If we got together and prayed every day together as a family, how much more likely are we to not be as distracted? When we start to get distracted, we'll be able to recall, oh yeah, that's not what I exist for. We prayed this morning. That's what we exist for Jesus. And so that's the first benefit of praying together. It helps us remember that we are here for God. The second benefit is that it creates unity within the family. When you go around a circle with brothers, sisters, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, aunts, uncles, whoever's in your home, because I know each home looks different, that when you go around that circle and you pray together, you share requests, you hear, hey, my son has a ball game this week, or I've got a major deal I'm working on at work, and everyone hears those requests, and you hear those things, and you go around and you individually pray for one another. And there's a bond that is formed. There's a closeness that is formed. In moments like those, I think it's like looking deep into the souls of the people in your family. You're developing more of a love for one another. You're developing a trust. You're learning it's okay to trust your family members, that you can be vulnerable with one another because you each have each other's best interest in mind. And not only can it help with closeness, but it also can heal wounds. Who's ever fought with a family member? Every hand should be up, right? Like you fought, you're all liars right now. Who's fought with a family member? You are everybody, right? We've all fought with family members. And Corey mentioned this last week, but it's hard to pray with people you're mad at. And so when you say, hey, let's sit down and pray after a day where you haven't really got along. Man, prayer can be the vehicle God uses to bring healing to those situations. It's hard to sit down and say, okay, let me pray for you this week while I really am really, really angry at you right now. You know, you're eventually going to, it's going to bring you to a point where you have to have a conversation about whatever it is you're bitter about. And so prayer can not only bring us closer, it can also heal those wounds. It can start up conversations. When you sit down in the living room that night and you know it's prayer time because it's a spiritual discipline, you're practicing in your home, it's going to force you to probably deal with whatever you need to deal with and find reconciliation. First benefit, helps us remember to glorify God. Second benefit, it makes us closer as a family. The third benefit is it prepares the next generation to pray with their families. We launched that Home Connection Ministry back in May. We believe that families should be the primary place where faith development happens. The church says, you can do it, we can help, and we just believe that. And so if you were to pray at home together, it shows your children how to pray. One day your kids, and some of you guys, your kids already have homes, and the reason that they know how to pray with their families is because you modeled it for them. Praise God for you guys who did that, and that's just really, really cool. When I was growing up, my dad's a pastor. He's been a pastor forever, and just a good Christian man. And my mom and dad, every night, like not even joking, if I had friends over, if it was just a really long day, every night we had family prayer time, every single night. And we would always go around in a circle, and I have two older sisters, and so we would always go around in a circle, we would share requests, and usually someone would have a game coming up, or they'd be stressed out about a test, or something like that. We would have church drama. Anybody been there? Like, my dad's a pastor, so we'd pray for any major issues he was dealing with or whatever. My mom has worked in private schools as a teacher. We'd pray for her. We just pray for those things that were naturally things to pray for. And usually someone would also mention, let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for those who are lost and dying and on their way to hell. And some nights, like, none of us wanted to have family prayer time because we were tired or busy or whatever. But my dad would say, hey, we're going to do it, all right? And so we would go around, we would pray together, and we would always end with the Lord's Prayer. And it was just a neat way for our family to do that. And one of the principles I learned from that is that prayer is caught and taught. Prayer is caught and taught. You should teach your kids to pray. You should teach people how to pray. But I think that prayer is also caught. That when children are growing up in their homes or grandchildren are growing up in homes and they watch mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles pray, they catch on how to do it. And they catch on not only how to do it, but that it's important to do. And so pray together. Even if it's been a long day, even if it's awkward, whatever, pray together as a family because it your kids will catch on as you do it. And those are just three benefits. Keeps God at the forefront of your minds. It makes you closer. And it shows the next generation how to pray. But in this nice little brochure that I promise I did not copy for my sermon, it says other great benefits. It builds lifelong, thriving marriages, strengthens relationship with children, nurtures strong faith in the hearts of children, reduces tension level in the home. Anybody ever had tension in their home? Praying together can reduce the tension in your home, and it increases marital trust, respect, and intimacy. And I don't think anybody in this room would argue that there's benefits from praying together as a family. I don't think any of you would probably say, like, oh, I don't know if that's really a good thing. I don't think anybody would be arguing that. But I think sometimes the bigger question and the second question we're going to deal with from here on out is, how do we actually do this in our home? How can I actually make this a reality in our home? And those of you who already have made it a reality, kudos to you. That's awesome. And I hope that my message this morning just encourages you to continue praying. Continue praying. Maybe it sparks new ideas of how to pray together as a family, to make this just a continuous spiritual discipline in your home. Those of you who've been praying together in your family for years and years and years and years, have you ever reached a point where you did it just because it was like a habit? You ever reached that point? Anyone? This is yes. We can interact. I'm a youth pastor. We've got to interact, all right? So, yeah, like you've reached a point where you know, I'm just doing this because we've always done it. Maybe today is a day where you remember, I'm not just praying in my home because it's just a habit. Like, I'm motivated. I love God. I love my family. So do it from your heart. Do it with passion. Make it something that the people in your home will notice, man, they are really talking to the Lord. So those of you guys who are already doing it, that's awesome. But if you're not doing this consistently in your home, I want to ask you a few questions. And the first question is, why not? And there are a lot of answers to that question. Why not? Why aren't we praying together in our home? One of the answers I hear the most when I talk about this is because people feel awkward praying out loud. There are many people who feel awkward praying out loud, and I understand that. I can empathize with that. I can see that, like, that prayer is a very private thing. Prayer is a very private thing. We're talking to God about our most inner requests, about the deepest parts of our soul. And the Bible talks a lot about praying alone. I mean, Jesus says, don't stand out on the corner like the publicans and you know, say these big fancy prayers, oh God, thee are the most amazingest God, you know, just like praying so that everyone will notice. We shouldn't pray so everyone will notice with our big fancy words and our wonderful prayers. That's not the reason we pray. He says, no, go alone into your prayer closet and shut the door and pray. So that is definitely in Scripture that we pray alone, but we also see Jesus praying out loud. Several occasions before feeding the 5,000, before Jewish leaders, before raising Lazarus from the dead, and there are way, way more examples. And so I know this is kind of an awkward thing to even talk about because people that don't pray out loud, they get angry when you encourage them to pray out loud. But I just want to encourage you, if it totally freaks you out to pray out loud, maybe you find someone you're super close with, your spouse, best friend, and you start with just some very simple, basic prayers. Just, God, I love you. Thank you for today. Because I think that it's helpful if you are a mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, leading a home. I think it's really important for you to model this for your children, grandchildren. And so I just encourage you to think about that. The second reason why families don't pray together on a consistent basis is time. Everybody say time. Everybody say time. All right, there we go. Scheduling is really hard. I am always busy, and finding a time to make this happen is hard. And so one of the things suggested in this brochure is piggybacking off of other things in life, like mealtime. You're going to sometimes eat together. When you eat together, pray. pray together. Bedtime, that happens every day. When you're at bedtime, it's a great natural time. And in Scripture, in Deuteronomy 6, it talks about it. When you rise and when you go to bed, it's a time to talk about the things of God. Bedtime, that's a natural time to do it. Drive time, we're always driving all over the place. If you're going to Burleson, you got a long trip where you can pray. So mealtime, bedtime, drive time. For us as a family, Sally and myself and our two boys, we do it at bedtime. That's where it happens for us almost every night. Sally does it with the boys every night, and when I'm home at bedtime, I jump right in. And usually she reads a passage of a children's Bible, and then we pray. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of days where I'm trying to get their teeth brushed, trying to get their pajamas on, I'm trying to get them in bed and get them to just shut their mouths, and then I try to walk out of the room as fast as possible so they actually go to sleep and I can find the first peace and quiet of the day, all right? And so that's honestly my flesh, what happens at bedtime. But then as I'm walking out the door and as I'm closing it, Micah will say, "Hey, Dad, we forgot to pray." And my heart just melts. But yeah, that's what we need to do. Even though right now I want you to be quiet and to leave me alone so I can chill for a second. That's my flesh. He says, "Hey, we forgot to pray." And most of the time, we as a family will pray together. And here's what our prayer time looks like. It's awesome. I have a 2-year-old Bennett and I have a 5-year-old Micah. And Micah is the first child, so he likes to control things. Any other first children out there? He likes to be in charge. And so he always says the order, all right? He likes to bat cleanup. He likes to go last. And so he will always say, all right, Bennett's first. And then me and mom always switch in and out who's next. And then Micah is always last. If he's not last, he's going to freak out, all right? And so it's always Bennett, me, or Sally, and then Micah. And so Bennett, forever, you know, he's 2, so we would always just have him repeat after us. Dear God, I love you. Thank you for mommy. And so, but lately, like the last few weeks, Bennett is saying his own prayers, like on his own. It's been the coolest thing ever. He's like, dear God, thank you, mommy, daddy, Micah, Benny, mommy, Micah school, Benny school. And then lately, we've had a roof leak at our house. And so I've been on the roof a decent amount. Sally's actually jumped up on the roof with me a few times. And so Bennett has been praying, thank you, mommy roof, daddy roof. It's just been the coolest thing, all right? It's been really, really awesome to watch a 2-year-old try to figure out how to pray and just see what's in his little mind and heart. But he'll pray. And then Sally and I will pray for the boys and for whatever else is going on. And then Micah says these wonderful, sometimes like better theological prayers than I can pray. And he's just a great little guy. But those prayer times, sometimes I will be so frustrated with a day, or I will be so even frustrated with my kids or whatever. It's hard to walk out of that room frustrated. The closeness that happens and how your heart just gets right with God in those moments is special. And a lot of you guys know what I'm talking about. And I just encourage you, if time is your problem, make the time. Find the time. There's a couple of thoughts from Andy Stanley, one of the great preachers of our day, on time. And one of the things he says about time is investing small amounts of time over time has a cumulative value. Investing small amounts of time over time has a cumulative value. Here's what this means. If I were to work out 15 minutes a day, just 15 minutes a day, and eat right for 6 months, I would see a difference in my physique. I would become more of a ninja warrior, all right? So 15 minutes a day, 6 months, eating better, I would see a difference. That's a small deposit of time in every single day would have a huge major effect. It's the same way with family prayer time. This little deposit of time, 5 minutes at the end of the day with my family, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes over time, that adds up to have a major effect on your family. Your children may receive Christ. They may have better attitudes. You may have closeness with your spouse. You may not have distance from your teens, because sometimes this thing happens with teenagers where you just don't know what they think. Any parents relate to that? So like, you're just like, who are you? Where are you? Well, sorry, teens. It's just real, right? Like, and so when you pray with your teens, it may help you even get closer with your teens. So investing small amounts of time has cumulative value, but also neglect has cumulative effect. So if you neglect prayer for 6 months, or if I neglect working out for 6 months and just eat whatever I want, you'll see a major effect on my physique, all right? So this neglect has a cumulative effect. Same thing with prayer. If you neglect those small deposits of time with your family, attitudes will be different. Tension will rise. Things will not be how you want them to be. So when can you do it? Right now, think about, when can we pray together as a family? Ephesians 5:15 says we need to make the most of our time because the days are evil. Decide today, when are you going to do it? So we've seen the benefits. We've seen that we should do this. Now, what do I do? Do we all sit around the family couch, get the big family Bible, lay it out, and then talk about our feelings? Is that how this works? I would say, just what I was sharing about my family, I'd say go around in a circle and share your requests and just say simple prayers. And when in doubt, we should look at what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 6, this is the last thing we'll do to close. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also as also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. When unsure, I think the Lord's Prayer is helpful. If you're someone who struggles to pray out loud, you could just read this together as a family. And over time, memorize it. A lot of you have it memorized. But to start family prayer time, you could use this model prayer as your model. If you look at verse 9, it starts off, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It starts off with praise and reverence for our God. It starts off by focusing on who God is. And then it turns in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So after you've focused on who God is in your prayer time, you can shift to saying, whatever your will is, God, we surrender. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The same way it works in heaven, I want it in my life. I want it in my home. I want it in my children's lives. We submit, we surrender to you. Then verse 11, after you focused on God and you focused on surrendering to him, give us this day our daily bread. Then you focus to your daily needs. A lot of us jump to our daily needs. God, I need your help right now. And those are okay. You need to say those prayers sometimes. But we focus on God first and submitting to him. And then, God, help me with my daily needs. And then verse 12, this should be a consistent thing in our lives. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Asking for forgiveness. Parents, sometimes I just confess my sins to God right there in front of my kids. Not all of them, because they don't need to hear all that. But sometimes there's some appropriate things, especially if I've had a bad attitude in front of them during the day. Dear God, please forgive me for my attitude. And my kids are hearing that. And they're learning to confess sin. Forgive us, Lord. Then it shifts to, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Asking God to protect us from temptation and sin. And then it ends where it started. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. Use this as a model prayer if you need something to help you. Brother Bill used this in his worship outline this morning with the acronym ACTS. Adore, confess, thanksgiving, supplication. There's no reason why we shouldn't pray at home. 5-10 minutes a day. Let's be 7-5-2 families. Ultimately, let's be 7-7-7 families, right? But this is a great way to start. 7-5-2. I'd encourage you to commit to this. We have some blue wristbands that will be in the Home Connection Center that say, pray 7-5-2. I'm wearing it. I've been wearing it about a couple days. And just looking down at it, it's helped me remember to pray for my family. It's been really helpful. The way I want to close this morning for our time of invitation is, I'd encourage you during the song that Bill's singing to use the ACTS acronym. Just sit there before you stand and sing. Sit there and have a time of prayer. Just personal prayer. Adoring, confessing, giving thanksgiving, and supplication to God. If you're here this morning, you haven't received Jesus, that's what we're also here for, to help you understand how to do that. But let's be 7-5-2 families. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for this morning where we can hear from you, we can commit to you, and we can see the benefits of praying together as families. Lord, use our church. I believe that a family that prays together will stay together. I believe that a family that prays together will thrive, and I believe that our church, if it's made up of families that are praying together, we'll be a strong church. I believe that if we have strong churches, it will change our community. If we have a strong community, it will change our nation. But I believe it starts at home. And I pray, God, you will help us to be leaders in our homes, praying together. Lord, we love you and praise you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd encourage you, go ahead and sit before you stand and use the ACTS acronym, spending some time in prayer. When you finish, go ahead and stand and join Bill in the song. Let's all bow and use the ACTS acronym.